A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Should we not do that?
No. When Lloyd makes a commitment to being here for the show, then we'll make commitments to giveaways and reads.
You'll make a commitment to the listener? Okay.
Actually, it's a pretty good giveaway. Maybe you should do it.
No, don't do it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, now you don't want to give our listeners stuff?
Well, I guess not. I'll just... Hey, I'm committed to what you want. What do you want?
Is it on the liner sheet you sent me?
No, it's not.
I am not surprised.
A little behind today. I haven't gotten the liner sheet.
Oh, you haven't sent the liner sheet. Okay. All right. We're giving away tickets right now. Look, we make fun and we joke. I'm just funning. That's all.
Well, he's a good guy.
But.
He wants to keep you happy.
That means we still have a commitment to you to give away tickets. And now is the time, 801-575-ZONE, 801-575-ZONE, and you will have a pair of tickets to see the Jazz and the Lakers. Coming up, what, April 4th, you believe, Lloyd? All right, let's go. 575-ZONE, 801-575-ZONE.
All right, Scotty and Lloyd, I want your opinion on this. I'm going to give you what I think Utah's offensive line will look like, and I want your take on how good you think this O-line will be. All right?
All right.
Either Jaron Kump or Johnny Maya at center. Because I know that Jaron Kump's working on the inside a little bit now.
Yeah.
Offensive tackle. Been a starter. Fantastic. So Jaron Kump, Johnny Maya. Saltoa Laumea at guard. Keaton Bills at guard. And then potentially Jaron Kump. Or Spencer Fano, or let me just take a look at my list here, or Michael Mokofisi potentially at the tackle positions. I would almost, if I could get Johnny Maya to play on the inside, I'd keep Jaron Kump on the outside. Really, you lost two offensive linemen.
Yeah.
Braden Daniels and Paul Miley. But that's what Utah's returning across their five-man front. What do you think? Tackles worry you a little bit?
Yeah. Interior, no.
Interior doesn't worry me.
No, it's those tackles.
I actually think you got two of the best guards in the country.
Yeah.
Bills and Laumea.
I feel pretty comfortable about that.
Two of the best guards in the country. You're just really trying to hammer down the center spot,
yeah.
Which Paul Miley would have made that really easy. BYU got a really good one in Paul Miley.
Yeah.
And I know they're thrilled to have him. He's not currently active in spring, but when he gets back, he's going to be great.
I think you're okay. I don't think you're obviously last year okay, but I think you're going to be fine.
Well, you're going to be looking for a really solid presence at the left tackle position. Because you're going to want to really protect Cam Rising's backside where he's coming through an injury. And you're going to have defenses that are chomping at the bit to come off that blind side on him.
And if you show weakness early, it's just going to be a long season because they're going to come attacking.
They're going to come attack. I know what I was doing. If I was a defensive coordinator, especially if I'm out of the gates with Florida or out of the gates with Baylor, I'm just figuring out my best speed rusher, and we're coming blindside. And not that we're hitting at the knee. We're not going after the knee. We're just going to go after him because we don't feel like he's got mobility out of the pocket.
Absolutely.
Now, if as a defense we get going and I see Nate Johnson line up back there, then we make some different plans.
Yeah.
Because we know Nate's probably not going to be tossing it around a lot. Nate's going to be much more mobile or whatever it might be at quarterback. Who knows what you could see at that point. Maybe it's Bryson Barnes. Maybe it's Nate Johnson. I don't know exactly how things are working out. I know that Utah's got spring practice today. And I'd love to get my eye on these quarterbacks. Maybe I'll get an opportunity to at some point take a really good look at all of the ones that are options. But I think as you come through this injury with Cam Rising, and I think Utah still has hopes. I don't know if the right word is expectation. I think the right word is hopes that Cam Rising is going to be a go. I don't think it's expectation. I don't think they expect it. I think they hope for it. And I think Cam Rising hopes for it because I don't think it would been. I don't think the return of Cam Rising would have been as promoted and as hyped as it was if they didn't have some hopes that he's going to be ready.
But hope seems like it's a little bit more wishful thinking than expectation. Expectation is like, oh, yeah, he'll be back.
Yeah. Hope is.
And you don't think they're there.
Going off of what we watched with Logan Bonner, it's
that's
really
why,
difficult.
And again, that's why I have a hard time weighing in on this, because I saw and called every snap that Logan Bonner went through last year coming back off that injury. And again, his wasn't a full tear. I have a hard time not comparing the two situations. And I know everybody's different. Every situation's different. I don't know the extent of the damage to Cam Rising. We found out afterwards it wasn't a full tear for Logan Bonner, but it was about an 85-90% tear on his ACL. And I watched him miss all of spring, and I watched him in fall, and I was sending you videotape or video of him, and he didn't look right in spring or in fall camp. Mm-hmm. And it certainly didn't look right at the beginning of the season, to the point where he suffered another injury and Utah State got better when he sat out.
He was gritting through it.
He was gritting through it, but it just wasn't the same. Wasn't the same dude. And so I look at that and I have a hard time, and it may not be fair on my part, but I have a hard time not comparing the two. Both appears to be, and I think Cam Rising has said it was an ACL injury of some sort. And it was the same time of year, into late December, early January. And so I have a hard time eliminating what I saw with Logan Bonner and not applying that to some degree to Cam Rising. And again, that may not be fair on my part, but I just saw how he struggled and fall into the first part of the season. And so that's why I get really antsy at the thought of not having a very, very capable number two ready to go. And I don't think that two is Bryson Barnes.
I don't know if it's Bryson. I don't know if it's Nate. And I don't know if it's currently on the roster. And I'm not saying that you can go out and find it in the portal at this point either.
Yeah. And you know what? I hope that when we see Cam Rising in the fall and in that opening night against Florida, that he just obliterates those defenses, looks like the same old Cam, and there is no hesitation whatsoever. I hope and pray that's the case.
Yeah.
I really do, because I don't want that Utah team, and I don't want Cam Rising to go through what Logan Bonner went through last year.
Well, a lot of that goes to what you and I talked about. This team has a lot of talent coming back in almost every position group. Almost every position group. I think that they're currently looking for a really consistent edge rusher, but your interior defensive line is stacked.
Mm-hmm.
Your linebackers look really good. Safeties and corners, you just very rarely worry. And you have high hopes that a big-time recruit and another young corner can fill in for Clark Phillips. You got high hopes for these young guys. Tight ends, they're there. Wide receivers, probably your best group of wide receivers you've had in a while. You got Vele back. Money Parks back.
By the way, I think Money Parks is going to have a huge season.
I think he should, too.
Depends on the quarterback, though.
Are they going to get it to him, though?
Yeah, that is the
question. I mean,
if you have Cam, I'd say yes.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent. It was senseless. And I will never understand it. I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson. And unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
How many games, how many times last year were you clamoring for more Money Parks?
There were signs that he was the man. There were signs of it, that he could be the man in a lot of different slip routes. Because he is extremely fast. But I know what you're saying. They still have to develop some wide receiving, and I'm sure they're still looking for a third and fourth target, but they do have some solid talent there. The running back room is stacked. In my opinion, it's stacked. Mekhi Bernard and Chris Curry back. You add Jaquinnon Jackson permanently to that position group. You got Jalen Glover. So I think that the running back position is good. So what it goes down to is, do you have a guy that's going to be able to consistently captain that offense? That's why I look at Cam Rising and keep my fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Because if that young man's ready to go, then I can't talk about a potential three-peat until that man's ready to go.
Yes. Yep. But here's the other thing. Are you ready? Now, granted, he went down and missed time last year, and Barnes was able to step up and get regular season wins. But even if he misses time for something completely unrelated to the knee, are you okay? You've got it. Look, we're in a day and age where you have to have two quarterbacks. You cannot anticipate or plan on a quarterback playing all 12 games. You just can't do it anymore. Defenses have gotten too aggressive. The game has gotten so much more violent. Like, if you get 12 games out of a starter, what was it? Aaron Roderick, I think, was the one that shared a number that I think it's only happened like 20% of the time. I don't know. It was during
I remember that. Yeah.
And it was
a low percentage.
It's a low percentage. So even if Cam Rising's coming back and that knee injury never happened, and he's 100% in spring going into fall, you still can't count on him being there for all 12 games.
So are you kind of resigned to the fact that Bryson Barnes can't be that guy?
I don't feel comfortable with Bryson Barnes being that guy. And maybe it had something to do with Penn State, but it's just no disrespect to the pig farmer. I think you need a guy in there that you need to be grooming to be the guy and that is ready to take the reins and be the full-time starter. And Bryson Barnes, God bless him, you love him, but do you really anticipate next year Bryson Barnes being in the running as the starting quarterback at the University of Utah?
I would love that to be the case. I just don't know if that's the possible case. There are a lot of aspects of his game that I like.
Okay.
I'm not going to find a tougher kid.
And maybe I'm being too hard on the kid. Maybe I am. I just don't anticipate, in this day and age, Bryson Barnes leading a Pac-12 team.
Would Andy Ludwig allow himself to be potentially exposed like this if Bryson Barnes or Nate Johnson or Brandon Rose or any of these guys wasn't the potential fit? That's what I have to keep coming back to because it's happened enough. And I know sometimes it's out of your control. Sometimes you just didn't get the recruiting. Sometimes you didn't get the portal that you thought you'd get. You went all in on two kids. Both those kids chose to go elsewhere. And now you're sitting there holding an injured Cam Rising and Bryson Barnes as your quarterbacks.
Well, I'm not even saying Nate Johnson may be that guy.
that's what I go back to is I have to imagine that Andy Ludwig's been around this long enough to know I can't be caught with this.
And that's why I'm not saying that guy isn't on the roster. I'm just saying I don't think Bryson Barnes is that guy. Now, there may be other guys on that roster that are and that they think can be that guy. And if you anticipate that he is heading in that direction, I would give him as many snaps and as many reps in spring ball and fall camp as I can possibly give him. To me personally, I just doesn't feel like Bryson Barnes is going to be that guy.
So Bryson Barnes last year, 20 attempts, went 10 of 20, 116 yards. Did not have a touchdown. This was rushing.
Yeah,
passing. 10 of 37. No.
No, I've got him 37 of 57.
There you go.
57.
37 of 57.
Four touchdowns, two interceptions.
37 of 57.
Started that game against Washington State. Got you the 21-17 victory. Played a little bit against Colorado. And then, of course, had the was 10 of 19 for one touchdown and one interception against Penn State. Mm.
He's not your answer.
I love that kid.
His story is amazing.
I love that kid. And I love he's gotten out of the pocket and got off the edge a couple times, and he's taken some big hits. You remember when he got off the edge and he delivered a big hit, dropped his head on a safety or a corner, and just blew the dude up off the left edge? God, I love so many things about him. But when you're talking about a three-peat, I don't think he's the three-peat. I think he could get you to a good record. I think he could satisfy some things, but
I think it'd be a stopgap for a Wazoo or something like that.
Yeah.
But it can't be starting out at Florida against Florida.
No, I don't think so. That's why I've got to believe that they feel like Cam Rising. And it's not expect. I don't think they expect it. Hope might be even too soft of a word. I think they have more than hope that Cam Rising is going to be ready. It's somewhere in expect and hope.
Yeah.
I don't know what that word is.
Well, I would say, look, they know better than we do, obviously. They've seen what he's up against. They know how he heals. And Kyle Whittingham's been pretty upfront and honest where they fully anticipate he'll be ready to go for fall camp and into the season.
I hope he's ready because this roster for Utah this year is really good. Yeah.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.